Saints, say with love, Dhan and Kaji. Saints, please join me in Simran. Tu hi nirankar, main teri sharana, mainu baksh lo. Tu hi nirankar, main teri sharana, mainu baksh lo. Sadguru Baba Hardev Singh Ji Maharaj Ki Jai. Saints, first of all, congratulations to all of us who are sitting here today. Our Babaji has been so benevolent towards us. He has given us one more opportunity to get together. He has given us this brand new Sangat. He has given it a new format. He has asked us to adopt a specific language. But more than anything else, the way I look at it is that it's one more opportunity for all of us to get together and absorb the divine energy that comes from here. Saints, and for somebody like me, it's an opportunity to shed some of the negative things that reside within me. Saints, there was once a guru who decided to visit a village where some of his followers used to reside. And when he decided to go there, the council of that village, they decided that when the guru comes, we will all go to his feet and we will take his blessings. But then when we take his blessings, let's make sure that we all give some kind of offering to him. Let's not go empty-handed. Okay, so that was a rule that was set by the council for everybody in the village. So the guru comes there, and right from the morning, everybody goes to take blessings from the guru. Somebody is going to the guru with whatever gold he has to offer. Somebody goes with silver. Somebody is rich enough to buy new clothes and offer that to the guru. And on the other hand, somebody goes with some brand new pair of shoes for the guru, right? But then there is this one poor villager who has got nothing to offer, no physical assets to offer, right? He doesn't have enough clothes on his back. How is he going to offer any clothes to the guru? He is barely able to feed himself and his family. He really cannot offer any food, cannot make any delicacies for the guru. But then he says, you know what, I'm going to try my luck. And he stands right at the end of the line and he says, let's see if I get an opportunity to get the blessings. All through the day, the line continues and everybody goes, takes blessings from the guru, and they offer whatever they have with them. And then when it is the turn of that villager, he is stopped at the door by the volunteers, and the volunteers say, where is the offering? He says, unfortunately, I don't have anything to offer. So they say, well, in that case, you cannot enter, because that's the rule that was set, that you need to bring something to offer, right? So the villager is standing there and he's thinking in his mind that maybe this is not the place for me. Maybe I'm not rich enough to go inside, right? And inside another scene is unfolding. The guru asks the council head and he says, has everybody done namaskar? Has everybody taken their blessings? And he says, yes. Are you sure? The guru says. And he says, yes, everybody who came here with some offering has come inside. The guru says, you know what, there's somebody standing outside, let's bring him in. So they go outside and they see this poor villager standing out there, and they say that, come in, the guru wants to see you. So the villager comes in and the guru asks him, why have you not brought anything for me? What do you have to offer to me? And the villager says, well, I don't have any physical assets to offer to you. The only thing that I can offer to you is the evil that resides inside me. The only thing that I can offer to you is the ego that is there inside me, the jealousy that is there inside me, all the negative aspects that reside inside me, those are the only things that I can offer to you. And the guru says with a smile, that is all I want. Why don't you sit right in front of me? Saints, when I think about Sangat, and I try to think that it's an opportunity for me to come here and surrender whatever evil resides inside me. But then I'll leave it to your introspection as to how we all look at it, right? But that's how I look at it. It's an opportunity for me. And Babaji has now given us this one more new opportunity for surrendering whatever negatives that might be residing inside me and absorbing the positives that saints have been talking about here for the past 2 hours, right? Since we have all been talking about, we have all heard from all the saints through the vichar and songs, and they've been talking about how they got initiated in Sangat, and it took me back to my time as well. It was 1994 when somebody grabbed my dad's hand and he took him to Sangat, and my story is kind of a mixture of what Prakharji and what Ashwiniji said. I come from a very pious Hindu family, and we used to go to temple every day. And after mom, dad took Gyan, they stopped going to temple. And I used to have very similar thoughts. I used to think, you know what, these guys are taking my family away from God, right? But then I was thrown into the car, like Ankitji said, and I was pushed to Sangat. And when I used to go to Sangat, there were two things that used to strike me the most, because these were the two things which I always used to have a question in my mind. One was, every time I used to hear the word Baba or Guru, I used to think, you know what, I go there, I'm going to see some kind of magic, flames coming out, ashes being thrown. So I go to Sangat and I don't see any of that. I see ordinary, normal human being, because that's how I used to look at them that way. I didn't understand Brahma Gyan, right? So I used to look at them as ordinary people who come and talk. And I used to somehow be able to relate to what I had read in Gita, or I used to go to a convent school, so I had read Bible, and I was able to relate to what I had read in Bible, right? But then there was that another aspect of science, right? Because I was a student of science, I used to always think, why do I need a guru, really? My science is trying to answer every question, right? So then the analysis used to start. Let's think about that for a minute, right? I see a lot of youngsters sitting over here. I'm pretty sure, although none of them spoke about it, that question is there. Why do I need a guru? Science answers all the questions, right? So let's look at what science is saying right now, right? My knowledge might be outdated a little bit. So what does science say a human being is, right? Who am I, right? Now, according to science, this body that is sitting in front of you is actually a community of 50 trillion cells, okay? Now, they did not stop there. They went and magnified further, right? And inside that each individual cell, what they have found is that every cell in turn has got 20 trillion atoms present in it, okay? So this physical form of Datta that is sitting in front of you is a community of 100 trillion atoms that are moving at the speed of light, okay? Now, they did not stop there. They went further ahead. And when they opened up the atom, what they found essentially was that at the bottom of everything, there is one infinitesimal form of energy. And it is the same energy which 13.8 billion years ago after Big Bang, created this whole entire universe, right? So science says you and I, every living organism, has got that same light which existed 13.8 trillion years ago. Right? But then we understand this conceptually, right? And once again, I'm talking about before Gyan, right? We used to understand this conceptually. Why did I not realize that energy, right? It sounds pretty cool, right? Energy inside me. Why did I not realize that? And that is where Babaji comes into picture for us. During Maharashtra Samagam, one saint put it very nicely. He said, Babaji is not just a spiritual master. He's actually a scientist as well. Because if you think about it, the point where science stopped, that is where Babaji begins, right? He is the one who through the Gyan has explained to us how this energy is there in all of us. When we talk about oneness, isn't that what it is all about? That one energy that resides in all of us? So that's that. So the one question is answered there, right? That we need Gyan. That explains why we need Gyan, right? Now let's look at another aspect. And for this, I would like you all to participate with me in a quick two experiments, okay? First experiment, for the next 5 seconds, please think about what you want to do tomorrow. So we all planned about what we want to do tomorrow. What we did is that we created a virtual reality and we plant something into the future in a time that is yet to come. According to science, there is no other living organism in the world which can do that. Plan to create a virtual reality, right? Now let's do another experiment. For the next 10 seconds, please don't think about anything. How many of you managed to not think about anything? I'll tell you about me. After 2 or 3 seconds, I start planning about how I will not think about anything. Right? So, if you think about it, we all, the human beings, have been blessed with one of the most evolutionarily developed tool called as the brain, called as the mind, right? But the biggest disadvantage of this mind is that we have got absolutely no control over it. And since we don't have control over it, we are constantly planning about the future, right? And then in that plan, we constantly drive our thoughts towards our own self. I start planning about how I will get a new car, how I will buy a new house. And this thought process now results into creation of a brand new plane of human sufferings. Because that is what will lead to jealousy when I see somebody else in a better car. That is what will create ego when I think about whatever degrees that I have, right? These are the feelings that start coming out. I start having regrets about things that I might have done in the past, right? And at the same time, I start procrastinating about what I will do in the future. So the lack of control over this human brain is creating so many issues in my life, right? But then, when I took Gyan, what was the first principle Babaji asked me to agree to? He asked me to surrender my physical form, my physical assets, and my mind. So if I have surrendered my mind, all of these negative feelings that are residing inside me should not come, right? If they are coming, it means I have not surrendered myself. I just gave a scientific example, right? I hope the kids are relating to it, right? But then why do you need a guru? And this is the question that I had personally asked to Prakash Joshiji in Mumbai in 1994. And he gave a very simple example, which I'm sure you all must have heard. He said, at that time I was in my 8th grade, right? He would say, why do you go to school, Dattaji? At that time, Bombay University had a concept of correspondence. You could study at home using the books. But then I said, I go to school because I want to meet a teacher and I want to learn it from him. And he said, precisely the reason why you need a Sadhguru in your life, because you need a subject matter expert. Okay, you need somebody who is an expert in that field, and that person explains it properly to you, right? And that is exactly the reason why we need Sadhguru in your life, because he is the subject matter expert of the present era, and he is the one who will tell you what Gyan is all about, right? But then saints, then the next step comes, right? We take Gyan, but then does it immediately start impacting our life? I'm personally speaking about myself. When I took Gyan, I was talking about this when I was coming on the way over. I took Gyan actually almost 12 times because I just couldn't feel it. I saw some other saints who were sitting with me in tears after they took Gyan. And I was not able to understand it. Why they are in tears? Why am I not understanding it? Right? And once again, I went to Prakashji. He was like a mentor to me. And Prakashji said, he gave me a couple of examples. And let me quote one of the examples, right? He quoted Param Pujya Rajmataji. He said, Dattaji, first of all, he said, at the end of taking Gyan, what was asked of you? I said, I was asked to do Seva, Satsang and Simran, right? So then he says, okay, then he gave me this example where he says, imagine there are three people sitting on a beach on a hot sunny day. Okay, they are sitting on a beach. Now, since it's so hot, one of the person gets up and starts walking towards the water, right? And the water comes up to his ankle and he starts feeling a cool feeling to his leg. But the rest of his body is still warm. It is still hot, right? Now, the other person gets up and he starts walking into the water and he keeps walking in until the water is like till his neck, right? So he's feeling much better than the first guy. But still, the sun is beating on his head, right? Observing this, the third person takes a lesson out of these two guys and he just dives into the water. He's totally immersed into the water. So he's the one who is having the best feeling. And he said, that is what you need to do. Whatever questions you have, Dattaji, ask it. Get it clarified. And after that, dive into the Sangat. Dive into Seva, Satsang and Simran. Only then you will enjoy it. Let me explain it in the language of some of our newer kids, right? I was talking to one of the Bal Sangat saints and I asked him, what is the newest Xbox game that you're waiting for? He said, Madden 15, right? So now, this saint wants this new game, right? So when the game comes out, he goes and buys that game. So he has the game in his hand, right? He's happy, but is that going to be enough? No. He will have to take the CD out, put it in the console and play it, right? That is when he will get the end-to-end experience of that game, right? It's something very similarly, it's all about, spirituality is exactly the same, I feel. Just taking Gyan is not going to help me. After that, I will have to attend and I will have to do Seva, Satsang and Simran. And when I play it, in that example, you play it, right? When I dedicate myself to Seva, Satsang and Simran, I immerse myself, that is when I will start to see the impact of it. That is when I will start to see the feeling coming out of it, right? So I start doing Seva, Satsang and Simran, right? But then, am I completely dedicated towards it, right? Quite often it happens that I'm talking about myself here, I'm coming to Seva, Satsang and Simran regularly, but then sometime some situations come up in your life which test you whether you are actually completely dedicated. And very humbly, let me quote an example about myself, and I'm quoting this example only to highlight the negatives that reside inside me. Saints who know me, you know that I live in Albany. But about 1.5 years ago, I used to live in New Jersey. I had a job here. I used to get the opportunity to meet saints every second day. I used to get to attend a lot of sanghats. One Monday morning, I went to office. My boss walks up to me and he says, Datta, there is a new rule that has come up in the company because of the change in management. Any consultant beyond 12 months, we are going to fire you guys. And unfortunately, you are one of them because I was with the company for almost 16 months at that time. So they said, you have 1 week's time. By next Monday, you can stop coming to work. Now, I am here in this country on a H-1 visa. If you are on a visa, you're supposed to find a job within 2 weeks. Otherwise, you get deported, right? That was the rule. So then I was a little worried, but then I said, you know what? It's Babaji's wish. Maybe something good is going to come along my way. Two job opportunities came up within the 2 weeks. One was in Michigan and the other one was in Albany, New York. So I said, let's go to Albany, right? I spoke with my wife, Namrata, and we decided we'll go to Albany because Albany is just 3 hours away. And we know that place. We have lived there in the past. So we said, let's go to Albany, right? So until that time, I was able to keep myself composed. But as the day of going to Albany started getting closer, it started dawning on me that I'm going away from Sangat. I won't be able to meet Mahapurush. And then questions started coming in my mind. Why is this happening to me? Right? And I started going away from my surrendered feeling that I thought I had. Right? Questions started coming in my mind. I went to the extent of standing in front of one of the Friday Sangats and saying, I don't understand why I am being moved to Albany. So we went to Albany. And at that time, Namrata was pregnant and we were expecting our second child. After 6 months, we were blessed with a boy. The third day after Sukarno was born, we took him to a doctor visit. The doctor checks him and he says, I hear some issue with his heartbeat. I think you should go and meet a cardiologist just to be sure. So the very next day, we go and meet the cardiologist. And the cardiologist, they did a lot of tests on him. And at the end of the day, they said, we have got a bad news for you. Your son is suffering from a condition called a ventricular septal disorder. In layman's term, it is nothing but he has got a hole in one of the walls of his heart. Okay. So when we heard this, we were obviously shaken. And then the doctor says, but actually I have got another news, which is kind of a good news. And he says, right now, One of the best infant cardiologists in US is here in Albany. We spoke with him and he said he will be available to do the surgery for your son in 5 months' time. When we heard that, Namrata and I, we were kind of in tears. The doctor thought we were in tears because of pain. We were actually in tears because of happiness. We were like, I was telling myself, why did I ever question him? Why did I ever question why I was being moved to Albany? I was being moved to Albany so that he could get attention from the best doctor. He is good. He is doing very well now. He is attending Sangat and he is coming at your feet. Once again, the reason I quote this example is just to highlight the fact that I questioned, right? I questioned and I should not be doing that. If I am surrendering, I should not be questioning my guru, right? And at the same time, I should not be keeping any kind of accounts. I should not be thinking, oh, I attended so many sangat, and why am I not getting that happiness, right? Why is that happening? I did so much seva, right? What am I getting in return? And let me quote another example just associated with this, right? I'm sure you must have heard about it. Baba Bulle Shahji used to sit outside his house and used to have his mala in his hand and he used to do simran, right? And every day he would see a carrot seller in front of his house. This lady used to sell carrots, right? And there was a couple of unique things that he used to notice about her. One was she would never allow anybody to pick the carrots. She would say, no, it's wholesale. You pick it up, 1 kg, I will put it in the weighing scale and you take it. And then she would maintain a very detailed account of how much she sold and everything, right? But then every day at around lunchtime, one gentleman would walk up to her and she would just put the tokri in front of him and she would tell him, go pick whatever you want. And then she would not maintain any record of that. So Bulle Shahji saw that for around 5 days, and then on the 6th day he could not control his curiosity. So he walks up to her and he says, good woman, I see something very unique about you. You are a very astute businesswoman, I feel. But then every day something happens to you during lunchtime. This man comes along and you just forget everything. You just give him whatever he wants and you don't maintain any account of what he has taken. So she looks up to him and she says, the reason I do that is because that gentleman is my husband. I love him. And there are no accounts in love. When Bulle Shahji heard that, he just dropped his mala that he was using for simran. And he questioned himself, what am I doing? Am I seriously in love with my guru or my god that I claim to be in? Why am I keeping an account of the simran that I am doing? Why am I keeping an account of the number of times I go to Sangat? Why am I keeping an account of the seva that I am doing in the Dropbox? If I am doing that, how can I claim that I am his true disciple? How can I claim that I have surrendered to the 5 principles that he has spoken about? Because that's what Guru wants, right? What Guru wants is the feeling that is associated with the seva that you do, the satsang that you do, and the simran that you do. And specifically about this feeling, there is this one example which I always tell myself. This happened during Maharashtra Samagam. Usually after Maharashtra Samagam, if Babaji is staying in Chembur Bhavan, a lot of saints go to take his blessings, right? And it was after one such Maharashtra Samagam that a lot of saints gathered and they went to take blessings from Babaji, right? And then Sunny Khindaji had narrated this incident actually. And Sunniji was standing next to Babaji and he saw a really old and a poor looking woman come to take Babaji's blessings, right? And he notices that she drops a 500 rupee note into the box before she takes blessings. Now, based on her appearance, he was surprised that how she was able to manage to drop a 500 rupee note, right? So, after she walks away, Sunniji walks behind her and he stops her and he says, if I may ask you a question, how did you manage to put that kind of seva, 500 rupees? And she immediately says, oh, I did not steal or anything like that. And Sunniji says, no, no, that was not the intention why I asked you. I was just curious, how did you manage to do that kind of seva? And she says, when the Maharashtra Samagam was announced in November, a thought came to my mind. Will I ever be able to do a 500 rupee seva? And when that thought came in my mind, I decided that let's give it a shot. So since that day, I sometimes don't have any food. Sometimes I have only one meal, and I collect and I collect, and eventually I was able to manage to gather that 500 rupees. So when Saniji heard that, he couldn't believe his eyes and his ears, and he said, why don't you come with me? So Saniji brings her back to Babaji and he says, Babaji, you won't believe what I have just heard from her. So Babaji looks up at Saniji and he says, I know what has happened. There are two morals that I always try to draw from this. One, it's not about the amount. It's about the bhav, as they say in Hindi. It's about the feelings that are associated with your seva. Okay? If you are completely surrendered, if you put your guru on a higher pedestal as compared to your own self, that is what is going to please the guru. And the second thing is what Babaji said, Mujhe pata hai, I know what is happening. He is always watching over us. Let's not assume that he is right now in Sydney. Trust me, he is not. He is here and he is listening to us and looking after us. So saints, that's the biggest lesson I personally try to draw, that when I come to Sangat, what is the bhav that is associated with it? What is the thought that is associated with it? I think I'm taking a lot of time. I'll conclude quickly with some parting thoughts. Saints, I try to take you through a journey, right? We take Gyan and then we come to Sangat. But then if I look at my own life, right? It's been 14-15 years that I have taken Gyan. Isn't it time for me to start spreading this message now? Right? How long am I going to just sit in Sangat and refine my own self? When am I going to start following Babaji, and when am I going to start spreading this message? That's the question that comes in my mind nowadays a lot. Look at Babaji's itinerary, right? One day is here, the other day is there. He's roaming the length and breadth of the world trying to spread this message, right? When am I going to jump in? I mean, it's Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow, right? The New England are playing the Patriots. Can the New England team say that, you know what, we are not going to come on the ground. We will sit in the stands. And we want the Super Bowl. Can this happen? No. They will have to go on the ground. They will have to play by the rules. And then maybe they will possibly win. Right? How long am I going to sit on the stands? When am I going to jump on the field? When am I going to start contributing? Right? It's so similar. Babaji has given us the five guiding principles, right? When am I going to use these five guiding principles and play by the rule? And while I am playing, I have to make sure that I keep my eye and my ears to what Babaji is saying all the time. Because the quarterback of the New England team, Tom Brady, he will never be able to take his team to victory unless he has his eye and his ears on his coach all the time, right? So when are we going to keep our eyes and our ears focused on what Babaji is saying, and when will we jump and when will we start contributing and spreading this message, right? We all use social media so much, right? We have so many friends and families. Let's start spreading this message, right? Use every possible means and let's start spreading this message. Since in conclusion, I just want to go back to that example that Vivek Shokji always says, that Babaji uses us like mic, right? We are all nothing but mics. So saints, whatever you heard in the last 30 minutes from my mouth, it's nothing but Babaji using me as an instrument to spread out some messages. If you liked it, it's Babaji's message that came out. Sometimes it happens that the mic starts thinking that he has his own capacity, and that leads to noise, right? So if you did not like anything that came from here, please neglect it as my noise. Saints, say with love, Dhan and Kaj.